Welcome to the 33% podcast. Each and every week, we are charting our journey as we set up 33% and we go about trying to make the most of our working lives and helping make marketing more straightforward and more simple for our audience. I should introduce myself. I'm James.
And I'm Gary.
And we are the co-founders of 33%. Now, last week, if you were here last week, we talked a lot about how to set goals for 2021. How do you try and achieve those goals, even when there's all manner of chaos going on around you? And if, like the both of us, you're currently homeschooling, you will have chaos going on around you as we speak. I have absolutely no doubt. So how do you do that? Well, we talked a lot about imagining yourself 12 months in the future, imagining that amazing year you've just had, imagining what that feels like so that you can really try and push through, so that even though there's people asking about times tables, there's people trying to get you to tell the teach them how to tell the time, you can still push through, focus on your goals and get to that end result, even with all manner of nonsense going on around you. Now, go back. Please do listen to last week's episode if you haven't already, because there's loads and loads of great stuff in there. But this week, what we really wanted to talk about is it's not quite as simple as that, is it, Gary? It's not quite as simple as just imagine where you want to go and it'll just happen.
No, that's it. Yeah. No, that wouldn't make for a great podcast this week. Or life would be much easier, wouldn't it? No. We talk about it's difficult to achieve because we're in this chaos. But actually, the first two things to remember before we even get into the actual content, into the actual meat of the goals we want to set, is just make sure that they are achievable. I think that has to be a thing. People have these images that you have to set these ridiculously difficult challenges, these ridiculously difficult goals, because, well, the reality is that's normally what happens in big business. And it happens in big business because you've got a board to impress, or you're a member of the board and you want to show off to everybody else. You're a department head, you want to beat other department heads, or you're just somebody who wants to impress their boss. So you kind of go, you know, well, you're pushing for a promotion, so I've got to say I'm going to achieve 400% growth. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, so the reality is, as a small business owner, you're not impressing anybody. No one's, you're not showing off. You're doing things to prove to yourself that you can do them. So actually, they have to be a challenge because they've got to stretch you. They've got to push you, but they've got to be achievable. If by the end of the year you haven't achieved at least 80% of what you set out, then you're probably not setting out the right goals. I think that's the first important thing to think about. But also make sure it is linked to that vision that we just talked about. Think about that. Every goal you set out has to link to what you set out. You have to work it in your head. Okay, I've set out, this is what I'm going to achieve this year. I'm going to achieve this goal. If you achieve it, how does it help you achieve your end vision for the business? And if you can't link those two things together, chances are it's not a goal you should put forward.
And we're talking like a distance down the line here for that goal. We're not talking about where do you want your business to be in a year from now. You're talking about what's the end goal?
Is that what's the end? Because whatever you're set out for where you want it to be in a year's time should be on the road towards where you want it to be in 5 years' time. So ultimately, everything works backwards from that. So what you're doing is you're setting goals towards achieving certain things in the 12 months, certain things over 3 years, but they've got to be linked to where your business is heading. There's no point having goals just for the sake of having goals. So I think that's an important thing always to remember, is link it to the vision and remember that it has to be, they have to be, I mean, look, everyone knows the term SMART goal. You know, and I always find the A is always variable, but specific for S, measurable for M, realistic for R, timely for T. They're normally fairly static. Achievable is the word I normally use. And that's the one I would use in this occurrence. It has to be achievable. It has to be very specific. You have to know exactly what you're trying to achieve. It has to be quite detailed. We don't want any airy-fairy, things will be better. I want my goal to be things will be better this year. Great. I mean, that means nothing. So it needs to be specific, has to be detailed. It needs to be measurable. You need to be, and you'll actually find, and we'll talk through some examples, there are some things that you might think are a little bit, how do I measure that? But actually there are smart ways of working how to measure something. Achievable, as we talked about, they have to be realistic. And I do think that's an important thing to remember. There's no point setting a goal. If you set a goal, basically, you know, from day one, you can't achieve. Why bother setting it? Why bother? There is no point. Who are you proving your point to? And the final one is timely. And timely really means putting a date on something. So what we don't want to say is, I'm going to treble the size of my business. But by when? We can all possibly do that in 10 years' time. But what are you going to do this year? So you have to put dates against it. And often, good thing with goals is to evolve them and roll them. So you're like, you know, within the next 3 months, I'm going to achieve this. Then 6 months after that, I'm going to achieve this. Always put a time against when you're going to do something. Otherwise, it's not really a goal. It just becomes a long-term ambition.
Yeah, a goal is something that you can achieve. More like a wish, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Yeah, a wish. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You're just imagining. I think that's the thing. That's the real difference between what we talked about last time and this time, is that when you're imagining yourself in that ideal future state a year from now, what you're thinking about is, it is a bit more emotional. It is a bit more about how you'll feel when you get to that point. And you need to picture yourself that far away, because imagine how you are 3 months from now it doesn't really make any sense. You just imagine, you know, you just hope to God the kids are back at school. That's all you're imagining. But
that is all I'm imagining right now. Yeah.
But with the goals, with these more details, like you said, the SMART goals, you maybe should think about shorter term goals, especially when you're running a small business, because stuff changes so quickly that you should be setting smaller goals for growth over a shorter period of time, rather than thinking, well, a year from now I'll be here, and then you realize, you know, 9 months from now you aren't anywhere near that point, and then you've either already failed or you're planning on delivering all of that growth in the last 3 months. Probably neither of those are necessarily going to happen.
So that's why, that's how. Let's talk about what. Let's talk about what sort of goals. And specifically, I won't talk about any revenue-based goals, because that's a given that at some point you've got to set yourself, you know, I've got to make a profit, or I've got to achieve I'm going to aim at certain things. But the important thing to note is, obviously, for most people, the end goal of their business is to make money. You know, that's one of the, you know, and if it's not for you, fair enough. I mean, I'd love to know what your business is, and please do write in and tell us. But ultimately, for most people, they want to make money. The level of is different for everybody.
You're trying to subsist at the end of the day. Some people, you know, even a not-for-profit still has to make an amount of money.
Because
pay the people and do the, you know, and keep the business moving.
Precisely. So, but all of these, assuming that you are there to make money, all of the things we're going to talk about will all help towards achieving that. And they will all help towards achieving your goals. So that's the whole point behind these. The first couple that you can think about doing, fairly obvious ones that start easy, is about new customers. Obviously, that's a clearly important one. It's one to measure. I think the thing to remember with new customers is that don't over-obsess with them compared to existing customers. James knows that I obsess over the stat that it costs 8 times as much to get a new customer as it does to get an order from an existing one. So always remember that, because if you focus solely on a target of achieving new customers, what you're going to do is, A, it's going to cost you more to acquire them. B, if your percentage of your customers overall is going higher and higher as new, then your margin is likely to come down, because the margin on a new customer is always much lower. So that's an important thing to remember. You do want to target for new customers, but it shouldn't be in isolation. It should be a combination. A lot of these metrics will be. It should be as a combination of total customers. So you do want to increase the number of your customers, but you also want to increase the amount of orders you're getting from existing customers. And that's a combination.
That's certainly something that, you know, we've seen with a lot of people we've worked with, where they get very, very focused on the shiny new customer. They want more, bigger, better customers. They're focusing on those people, and that's almost always at the expense of their current customers. Their focus is over here on driving this new stuff, and they're not really servicing and certainly not really growing their current customers, which is, you know, often is where the largest opportunity for increased revenue can be from those people that are already on board.
And the other thing to remember is, it's not just that it costs 8 times as much money to acquire them, but they take more time, and time's almost as powerful for a small business owner as it is for anything, particularly now you've got to split it across homeschooling as well. And the reality is, if you can get an extra order from an existing customer, you can probably do that in 10 minutes of work, where you've got to do an hour's work to get a new customer. And that's the balance you always have to try and remember in these situations. With existing customers, there's a number of key measures. Look at the amount that they're spending year on year. So look at the customers. Let's say you were looking at a quarter on quarter analysis. Let's look at look at the customers you had this time a year ago. And now look at those exact same customers this year. Did you get more money out of them than you did last year? Are they still spending? Are they still with you? It's those kinds of metrics. So it's not just total number, but it's the number of sales you're getting and the number of them you're retaining. Those are the sort of metrics, because it's those combinations, as I say, those combinations of understanding how many new customers have I got? How many existing customers am I getting to buy again? What percentage of my revenues is coming from those different areas? Those are the sort of things so that you understand, you know, where the split of your revenue is coming from. I think that's really, really important. Not just the revenues, but also the traffic.
I think it's also a good example where a goal helps you keep an eye on your business as a whole. So it's not just a case of this is what I'm trying to achieve. You're also monitoring that you've not got a problem with your business. You realize that actually we're getting way less money from our current customers as we were previously. And you can see what's that drop off? Where are we losing people? What are we not selling that we were selling last year? And it can allow you to focus on those things that you might otherwise have not spotted if you were just looking at this kind of long distant thing in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The next one that I would most people always look at, and the one that is, it's a very dangerous metric if used incorrectly, which is the conversion rate. For a start, there's a million and one ways to measure the conversion rate. A lot of people will go, it's the number of people that order from the number of people who come to my website. That may be a case. Some people do it from the total reach of their marketing that goes on to convert. Some people will do it from the number of people that enter the sales funnel that go on to convert. For example, a B2B business would normally look at the conversion rate of those that they engage and go on to convert. So there are different levels. The whole point is you should have a funnel, you know, and that isn't necessarily a metric or a goal we talk about here, but a funnel is an important thing to follow through to do that. But I think the danger with conversion rate, and the people obsessed with these things, and there's always metrics out there and it ranges so varied. Like, oh, my conversion rate, my website is only 0.3%. And that's terrible. That means nobody's buying from me and everything else. There's so many different factors you need to remember. The number one thing that everyone always forgets is that you're always comparing it to a period a year ago. And you got to make sure you knew what was happening a year ago. Because when we do, you know, when we do a measurement in, let's say, 12 months time, I like to think most of us won't forget the fact that we'll be comparing it with the middle of a pandemic.
I mean, last year and this year, like the year on year, you know, we always measure stuff year on year. It's just like, chuck it in the bin. There's not really much point,
yeah,
because it's just complete bonkers, isn't it? There's no comparison to be made.
No.
It's the same as people would try and do, you know, I've worked with people that they're trying to do a month on month comparison, and they'll be like, you know, in January, you know, why are our sales not as good as they were in December? It's like, well, have a think about it. What what was different?
And I genuinely had that conversation with somebody in the travel industry who complained that their April conversion rate wasn't as good as their January conversion rate.
That, isn't it? Weird.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny how that works.
But yeah, it can happen. But people, you get really focused. It's not necessarily silly. It's just that you're focused on looking at your previous month. You're looking at your numbers. You're looking at a Google Analytics. You're looking at the graph. You're not really thinking about you. Some people forget to think about the real world, what was happening in the real world at the time. I think that's a really important thing that you said to remember what was going on in the world a year ago, what was going on in the world a month ago, what was different to the way it is now. So you're comparing, you know, like for like, I guess.
And the thing is, people think, because I've heard it so many times, but it's conversion rate. So it takes that out of it. It's still the same conversion. It's just like, it doesn't, we know that there's less people coming to the site, but it doesn't affect the conversion rate. Well, other things can affect the conversion rate. Right. For example, in the middle of a pandemic, people have got loads of time to keep coming and looking at your pretty site, but that doesn't mean they're going to buy. There's actually probably less chance that they'll buy right now because there's less money out there to be spent. So it does matter. Also, remember the factors you throw into the mix as well. You may have had a sale on this time last year and you're not doing the same offers this time. You may have launched a brand new product you haven't got it this time. You need to keep a diary of the things that you're doing as a business so that when you look at that comparison, you can judge it. Also, you know, people will be testing their website. So when you make tests, conversion rates will fluctuate because you're going to do an A/B test. So, you know, one won't be... because people always assume whenever I do a test, it means things are going to go up. 70% of tests should fail because that means you're trying things properly. If you're just making small changes that make small increases, you're not going to really push the envelope much. You've got to try things, so you will have fluctuating things. The other thing to remember, and it again is linked back to some of the earlier metrics, which is if you drive a higher level of new customers, let's say you have a new customer drive for a month, probably you're going to have a lower conversion rate because existing customers convert far higher. So if you're driving new traffic that, you know, they're not people coming back, an existing customer comes back to your site, they don't need to know who you are. They don't need validation. They don't need social selling. They just need to check if it's the right product and they're going to convert higher. But a new customer not only has to be happy to buy the product, but they've got to be happy with who you are. They've got to check with other people who find out who you are. So all those factors come into it. So just using the conversion rate and just going, right, well, it's down, it's rubbish, everything's terrible. You know, just be cautious always with a conversion rate. Now, going to go on to a slightly different one now, which really does challenge us in terms of, you know, we said make all your goals smart. So this is a challenging one to make that smart. But one of the metrics that we use and we'd like to get other people to use is never running out of content. Never run out. Judge yourself because part of these goals, as I said before, it's not just about making money. It's about driving your business forward. If one of your goals for the year was to do better marketing, to engage your customers more, one of the ways of judging that may be to never run out of content, always have fresh ideas, always coming up with new stuff. Now, there are a couple of ways, you know, that we can look at to sort of always judge yourself about when you're setting this marketing up, setting your campaigns up. So maybe you measure, always keep a track of when you've set up the work for the next week. So if by every Friday afternoon, you've set up your content for the following week, that's a tick. And then you measure that on a graph and see week by week, when did I complete it? Or maybe you start pushing yourself and going, right, let's see if I can do it 2 weeks ahead. And you start setting those goals and measuring how often can I set my content up weeks in advance. I think that's a nice way of looking at that.
I think that's a really good measure as well, as if you've got a good handle on what your brand is and who your customer is that kind of, people often say, oh, I struggle to come up with things to put on social media, or I struggle for what to put out. But in my experience, and I'm sure you agree, that this happens more often because you're either targeting too broad, because you don't really understand your customer properly, because you don't really know what to say to them. When you do have that, when you really nail that down, that's why never run out of content is a great goal to have, because it means that everything you're saying is relevant. Everything you're adding to social media is interesting and is engaging people and making them ultimately want to interact with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And another goal could just simply be, you know, we talked about it before, we take our subjects of influence and we turn them into superhero content ideas. So we've got a list, we go to a bank. We'll never let that list go below 5 or 10 or whatever it is for you, and always keep a measure. So whenever it's getting to a certain point, that's your target point. Okay, I've only got 6 left. By next week, I'll be below the point. I'll have to come up with some new ideas. And just keep challenging yourself. Again, it's about running your business. If you set that as your target, as your goal, then it will mean you'll be running your business better as well. Database volume is, to a certain extent, the next two are quite linked, because one is about database volume, one is about social media followers. They both have the same philosophy for me, which is quantity over quality.
That's what people focus on and make.
Yes, absolutely. See what I did there.
Very good point, Gary.
Yes, well made and well followed up, James. No, the reality, and I've written about this many times, particularly on database sizes, people just obsess with the fact that, oh, I've got 50 million people in my database, or I've got, you know, I've grown from 100 followers to, you know, 5,000 followers. Okay, great. But what are they actually doing? Ultimately, if you've got someone in your database, that is someone you're going to connect with. Number one, don't measure the number of people in your database. Measure the number of active people. That's the measure. That's the target. That's the goal, is the number of active people, the people that are interacting with the content you're putting out, whether it's on email, whether it's social. That's the measure. That's the one that matters.
And that's having, we've seen that loads with brands where,
yes,
now,
yeah, yeah,
people, you know, people used to be like, oh, I've got this, you know, we've got a 5 million database, or we've got, you know, I've got 10,000 people following me on Instagram or whatever else like that. But actually, it's really pushed the other way now. It's actually, we want to know how many engaged people have you got? How many people are liking your posts? How many people are sharing your posts? That's your real engagement. And that is the thing that when a customer's looking at you or a potential client is looking at you, that's the thing they're looking at, not the big number anymore.
No. And I think that is the thing. I think that's what people have to remember now is don't, you know, and the only way to do that, the only way to not, I call them vanity metrics. The only way to avoid focusing on the wrong things is never have them as your goals, never have them as your targets. Don't set the target of 100,000 people on your database or 10,000 people or 100 people in your database. Have your target of 55 active subscribers or 150,000 active subscribers. And then have, you know, my target is not to get, you know, 1 million followers this year. My target is to have my content shared 50,000 times. Focus, again, the numbers themselves don't matter as much because they'll be relevant to you as a business and you want to grow them year on year. What's relevant is that they're metrics that actually mean something, that people are engaging. Because the whole point of database sizes and social media followers is they are people engage with you because they'll eventually go on to buy. You know, having a database of 1 million where 900,000 of those people don't even open your emails or look at them or engage with them doesn't grow your business. It's the 100,000 that grow your business, and that's all that matters. Right. One more for the road. And this one is a slightly odd one. I mean, I've written it down previously as buying more Lego. So I better explain it because
ultimately that is always my goal.
It is, but it probably doesn't help most people understand what I mean by that. That is a target, that is a reward. Actually, what we're talking about is, this is about your, it almost touches on mental health, but it really touches on being happy with how you're running your business. And, you know, a lot of what we say is about enjoy your working life. And it really comes back to, am I achieving things? Am I doing things I'm enjoying? Set yourself targets throughout the year. And it could be linked to some of the metrics we've already talked about. It could maybe completely new ones, but set yourself up new goals. And then when you achieve them, reward yourself with something that's relevant to you. Could be buying a new pair of trainers, could be a lovely new dress. Probably neither of those are that relevant right now because you can't use them. But take my point, buy yourself a lovely bottle of red wine that you can bring home and drink. Whatever it happens to be, in the case of me and James, we set up all these targets that are essentially buying more Lego for eventually when we're allowed. Yeah, toys in general, when we're allowed to get into an office together. But the point of this is it helps you. It keeps you going along. It gives you an achievement. Because when you're a small business owner, what you don't have is people rewarding you and people going,
very few people give you a high five. No one's really patting you on the back and telling you, good job, well done. We all need that. Even people who go, I don't really need anyone else to tell me I'm doing a good job. I know I'm doing it. No, you don't. Everybody likes somebody to say, good job, well done. Whether that's a client saying well done, whether it's a colleague, whatever it is. But you don't often get that. So as you said, it's about, and it really comes full circle to that imagining yourself a year from now. That is in and of itself its own reward. But having that tangible thing, it doesn't have to be buying a thing. It could be anything.
No, of course it does.
Could be booking your holiday. It could be giving yourself just a day off and go and spend it with the family or whatever.
That's a really good one. Yeah.
Whatever that is, but it's something tangible that you started out and said, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to give myself that when I get to this point, because it's a real basic human need, isn't it? It is. You get a reward. You do something good, you get a reward. It's like, it makes you do it again.
Absolutely does. I'll give you an example of something so that you get, people get a feel of what we're saying is, one of our targets was that we want to reward ourselves for was getting our first course live, an actual live course that could be downloaded by people. It's not,
thank you.
Ultimately, it will hopefully help us towards some of our end goals in terms of revenue that's coming in and generating, engaging people. But ultimately, it isn't one of those metrics we talked about above. It's just a thing. It's a new thing we've never done before. We want to achieve it. We both felt really good when that eventually went live. We're really proud of it. So we kind of like, you reward yourself for doing that. And there will be other things like that where people have launched a brand new product range that you've never launched before. Right. For the first time, or whatever it happens to be, but there will be things that you know you can achieve. And they're things that they're not easy things. They've got to be something you've got to work at. But the whole point is set them and then reward yourself for doing them and know what you're going to reward yourself. Set it up in advance.
I think that's really, really important. I think it is that gratification and working towards that is obviously success is its own reward, as they say. But, you know, there is that Lego is a bigger reward than success, in my view. The two are inexorably linked.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think so
there we go. Yeah. They're just a few ideas. There will be more. There will be more. And people have their own ones, but hopefully it gives you an idea of how to set things that are realistic, measurable, and can do something for your business, as opposed to just being, let's do something nice.
Yeah. So that's it. Like in a couple of podcasts, you've got this kind of this ability to get your mindset into the right place. Picture yourself a year from now, imagine what that looks like and what that feels like. But then by following some of those examples Gary's given, you can set yourself some, you know, smaller goals, things that are over a short period of time, things that you can deliver, but that will give you those, keep you going, like give you someone to cheer you on along the way. That's what you need sometimes when you're a small business owner. You need those well done's every so often. Yes. To know that you're heading in the right direction. And don't be afraid to adjust them as you go along. There's always going to be a chance that you might get halfway through the year, and if you haven't quite got there, then maybe you do need to adjust. Heaven knows at the moment, you can't necessarily predict what's going to happen a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now. So be prepared to adjust those goals so that you can, so you don't get into a position of just beating yourself up. Because if you get halfway through the year and you're nowhere near, there's a good chance you probably need to adjust something to make it be achievable. Look,
yeah. And again, you're not impressing anybody. So if it's not going to be achievable, it's only you that you're going against. So reset them for yourself.
But also no cheating. Don't be cheating. You're only cheating yourself as well. Don't change the numbers. If you get near it, don't just go, oh, we'll just cross that zero out. That's also not okay.
Very good point.
But, you know, yeah, so that's it. I think that if you follow some of those bits of advice, I think you will have a good 2021, even in spite of everything else that's going on. I think that's what we're going to be doing. We've set our goals. We've got individual sort of landmarks, waypoints we want to hit along the way, and hopefully this time next year we'll be in a great place, irrespective of what goes on in and around us.
Brilliant stuff.
So anyway, just a quick bit of housekeeping. We're 33%. We've mentioned that on many times before. If you'd like to find out more about what we do, we have a number of things that we do. We offer an online course, as Gary mentioned. It helps you get to really get to understand your customer. Again, Gary talks a lot about the never running out of content, knowing your customer, knowing what to say to them. And we've got a dedicated course just for that. You can go online and sign up for that anytime you wish. It's great. Again, it's great for the time we're in at the moment, because you can do it whenever you want. You can jump into it around. If you are in a homeschooling situation, you can jump into it in the evenings. You can do stuff around your other responsibilities. So it is a great way of doing that. Please, by all means, subscribe to this podcast. Follow us on our social media channels. Check out all the details on the 33% website. That's 33%, all letters, no numbers. And we'll be back again next week with more wonderful insight, I've no doubt.
Goodbye.
See you next time.